Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Former President Donald J. Trump is having a big rally in Oaks today. Vice President Harris in Erie today. And here in Philadelphia, she's expected Wednesday. J.D. Vance is in our area in Montgomery County and Lafayette Hill for a big event. That's happening tomorrow. Pennsylvania taking center stage. So I have some new details, some new polling information. We'll get into all of that as we wind down less than two dozen days. What are we, 22 days from Election Day? So the most important thing I can say to anybody listening right now, make sure you are registered to vote, because whether it's by mail, in person, that deadline, tick-tock, a week from today, October 21st, that's the deadline to vote in Pennsylvania, October 21st, and that's by mail, or that's received or in person at your local election office. So 1 week away from making sure everybody is registered to vote. With that said, one big issue that many of our local school boards have been covering and grappling with, whether it's in Bucks County, whether we're thinking about North Penn School District, the Lansdale, Montgomery County area, many school districts and boards grappling with this, with issues of Title IX. And we've had a lot of conversations. Riley Gaines was here recently. We've talked about that. But looking at it from the eyes of a pediatrician and thinking about the push for this care and then the dollars, the millions of dollars behind it. And so Dr. Marion Mass, who's a local doctor, pediatrician, who you know I've talked to before and you know her well, talking about why some of these efforts seem to be troubling. And so I want to welcome in. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning.
The doctor's in the house.
Wonderful to be on. Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you now,
oh,
as we say.
Yeah.
So I love the way that you approach this as, yes, a doctor, but all as a pediatrician, but as well, somebody who's a mom, right? And so you approach this with a very loving, caring, I mean, that's how you're couching this, to think about not just where the dollars are going and not just about providing care for kids, maybe their mental health issues, et cetera, but looking at this through your lens as both somebody who's not only a doctor, but as well a compassionate, loving, you know, mom and doctor. I want you to take me through in your latest piece that you've written, and we'll talk about where people can find it, and I encourage everybody to read it. But you're talking about what you discover as troubling. $6 million on efforts to alter gender appearance of children. And so what do you see here? And what I'm inferring from you is that it's the cause and effect. This is not a tiny percentage of people, whether they're teens or adults, who go in for care. That's not, I'm inferring from your latest piece that you've written, that's not what you're seeing here.
Well, so first of all, Dawn, I didn't write the piece. I simply provided
the
quote.
Providing the quote,
and
yes.
It is troubling because people are going through databases and finding the amount, you know, the dollar amount that is spent on these cares. And it isn't always about the dollar. I mean, the basic question is, are we doing harm by providing medicines, or are we doing harm by providing irreversible surgeries? And, you know, what are we doing in the future? Having that question doesn't mean that you hate children who believe that they belong in a different appearance of a gender body than the one in which they were born. You know, I have a lot of compassion for any child who is upset, confused, potentially even suicidal. Do you mind if I tell a story of something that happened many years ago to kind
sure.
of compare and contrast? Okay, so, you know, I'm going to take you back years and years. I'm not going to say how many, you know, and I'm not going to use any names here. I was working in an outpatient setting and had a 15, 16, somewhere along that line, girl come in. And, you know, we do a portion of almost every visit where we say, hey, like, if there's anything you need to talk about. So she asked her mother to leave. And after her mother left, she started crying. And she said she was depressed and anxious, and she didn't want to tell her mother. And she was bisexual, and she didn't want to tell her mother that either. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have to picture, like, medicine. This is many years ago. Medicine, I had more time, as did other pediatricians, to take care of the patient. Like now, well checks are down to 20, 30 minutes, and sick visits are down to 7 minutes. It's a mess. But, you know, even back then, you were limited. And, you know, you have a whole cadre of patients that are in. You have to take care of all of them. So I said to this young girl, okay, look, this is a serious issue. You and I are, we're going to talk about this. At some point, I may have to break, go to another patient, but I want you to stay here, and you and I are going to formulate a plan together, and I will not, you know, you're of age where if you want me to keep something confidential, mm-hmm. telling your mother won't necessarily happen, but I'd like you to share with your mother. So anyway, I asked her if she thought she could at least share with her mother that she was depressed, and she was crying because she said there's depression in her family. She felt like she was bringing down her mother, and she was disappointing her. And, you know, let's compare and contrast that to now. We have done a lot of work with stigma. So now when people are upset, depressed, anxious, they're talking about it. And that's a good thing. So mother came into the room, and the girl had told me, I don't want to talk about the bisexuality. And I said, okay, I can respect that. Now let's also compare and contrast. Back at that time, I mean, this whole idea, this is years and years ago, this whole idea that, oh, let's take our youth and inject things into their arms, inject a device underneath their skin that releases daily hormones to block the process that their body was born into, mm-hmm. that was not going on. And now, compare and contrast, and the people who wrote the article, you can see they came up with us spending $6 million in Pennsylvania on these processes, including surgery. But whatever the case, the young girl revealed to her mother that she was depressed. You know, her mother cried, she cried. You know, there's a lot of hugging, and there's a lot of conversation going on, and there's a lot of togetherness here. And I said to the two of them, I'm going to get you in touch with a psychologist, and they will work with a psychiatrist, but you need some help. Now let's compare and contrast. Can you find a psychologist for a child today, or a psychiatrist? My phone's going off all the time. You might even be able to hear the buzz, but people are asking me, what should I do? It's months and months to get in. But I found someone for her, and it was still months back then, years and years ago. Mm-hmm. So she got in for care. And in the meantime, I said, look, I'm able to write a prescription. And I personally use medications as a last resort. I mean, you know, Dawn, I'm married to a surgeon. We mm-hmm. each have our own prescribing ability. Our children are all in their 20s, and they've had 5 rounds of antibiotics their whole lives. You know, like, we can write anything we want. We tend not to go there. And we are just... meds are something you do when you need them, but you don't jump to them. And sometimes they are needed. So I'm not anti-pharma. I think we have to have pragmatic approaches all around. So we got this young girl on a dose of antidepressants. And I told her, and I remember looking into her eyes, and I said, if you get worse, if you feel like you want to harm yourself, and I made sure she didn't. And, you know, by the time we were finished that day, she had been with me for an hour and a half mm-hmm. as I'm going back and forth between patients, because we were going to have a plan. But I said, you need another plan. If you ever get to there, you have to tell someone immediately before you hurt yourself, mm-hmm. preferably your mother. Well, 3 weeks later, it was a midnight phone call from her mother, who was crying and said, Dr. Mass, I'm so grateful. We're on our way. We're taking her to the ER. She told us that she was suicidal. And, you know, she had revealed to her mother that she was bisexual. And back then, you know, like, if you mm-hmm. revealed you were bisexual, no one was coming along saying, well, you might really be a boy. They were, okay, you're bisexual. I mm-hmm. didn't do it. And the mother was like, I'm really grateful for what you've done and your warnings. And she got through the care, and then some inpatient was done. And she came back a couple weeks after inpatient, and, you know, we talked about other things she could do. Dawn, you know lots about me right now. By now, you know, I said we talked about good eating habits, good sleeping mm-hmm. habits. We didn't really have screen issues back then. Let's compare and contrast. Now we have the screen issues, and Lord knows what they're pushing people into or pushing people towards. But, you know, we did talk about good eating habits, and, you know, I said, get busy. You know, take a walk, like, think about, like, some kind of exercise. And this girl was significantly overweight. And, you know, I didn't shame her. We talked about, you know, these are all common sense things you could do that might help, that they may be hard, but you can do hard things. That's one of the things I say to kids all the time. You can do hard things. She came back, and maybe, like, we kept in touch by phone. She came back for visits, and I remember seeing her maybe, 6 months, 8 months, a year. I don't even remember what it was after all of the, you know, this had transpired. She had lost a significant amount of weight. She had joined an athletic group at school. She had a new set of friends. She felt good. She hugged me. She came in and she hugged me. And, you know, so now, like, when I think about that story in its entirety and where we are now, you know, now people say, oh, well, maybe parents shouldn't know what their children are up to doing in the schools. I mean, back in 2017, the American Academy of Pediatrics was putting out warnings like, if your child gets a tattoo, you really should be aware because they could get an infection.
Yes.
But we're going to inject with drugs and hormones and, I mean, maybe life-altering surgery.
And so listen to the difference of you treating a patient. I think it's important to tell that story, that this is compassion, this is loving care. But Beth Ann Rossica, in her latest investigative piece in Broad and Liberty, just posted, talked about in the past, you know, less than 10 years, 9 years, Pennsylvania spending more than $23 million of taxpayers' dollars on these sex reassignment, transition-related services, and drugs for minors. And so part of this is that, and this is my question of what concerns you as a pediatrician. Have you dealt with these issues for years? Yes, but something else is happening here. And is it related to social media? Is it related to a movement? Is it related? Some people say this is pharmaceuticals or greed or money. What do you see and what are your concerns about this? Because in some parts of the country, it's not existing. In other parts like the East Coast and the West Coast, how is it that suddenly we have this explosion of people who want these medications at ages as young as 8 and 9 years old?
Well, how we got to the point where we have the explosion, I mean, there's going to be a lot of factors in there. Do I think social media is a part of it? You know, absolutely. And look, I'm not immune to this either. I have children in my 20s. It has been more than once that they have something medical themselves going on. They call up, we'll have a three-way conversation. My husband, the surgeon, me, the pediatrician, and then said child. Well, now they're adults, but they'll say, like, well, don't, and we don't mind because this is how we are with patients. They'll question, you know, are you really sure this is it? Because I read on Google. Can you imagine?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Like, wait a second. You know, long ago, there was a neck problem in my family. It was a musculoskeletal problem, we believe. And I'm like, okay, listen here. Your father is a head and neck surgeon. I am a pediatrician. This is what you're telling. But it's funny. You know, we probably talk to our children a little bit more familiarly than we would with patients. But, you know, patients ask all the time about, you know, the Dr. Google kind of stuff.
Yes.
I think a lot of kids, they're connected to those phones. They spend 5-7 hours a day on their phones. Is this what's driving it? And to do another compare and contrast, let's compare and contrast what's going on across the pond in England, shall we?
Yes. Well, before we get to that, I do want to just introduce another thought. And we've talked before, or I've talked about it, the Do No Harm, and it's a site people can look at, protecting minors from gender, from pushing this gender ideology, right? And they're taking it at the core of the Hippocratic Oath to say, do no harm. But are doctors being trained or instructed that doing no harm means that you prescribe these things, that when a kid says, hey, I want to transition, I want the meds, I want the bottom surgery or the top surgery, is that the new push?
Well, listen, in what I do in medicine, I'm not having to make those decisions, okay? So many might say, well, just go to the expert. I mean, I have, I've certainly met plastic surgeons who were asked to provide such surgeries, and they declined.
Yes.
There's other surgeons who will do those surgeries. You know, like there's the question of, and, you know, I just told you a story in which I related. I was very concerned about a child being suicidal. We certainly hear all the time that we have to perform what is being called gender-affirming care. I will call it medicalization of children who have questions about their gender. But when we say that, you know, these children will commit suicide unless we give them what supposedly right. they want, how do we know that 20 years from now there is not going to be some neurologic side effect from years and years of hormones that were not the hormones meant to be secreted by this body that will put these children at risk of suicide? How do we know mm-hmm. that 10 years from now, a young woman who believes she wants her breasts taken off, you know, then it changes her mind? I mean,
right. teenagers kids are sterilized, very impulsive. You know,
100%.
And that's the latest report yeah. that says, you know, the latest report, Do Not Harm. I know Broad and Liberty's reporting this, other national publications, but locally here at in our area, children's hospitals here, 122 children went through sex change services. Hormone and puberty blocker medications went to 117 children. These prescriptions went to 768 children. I mean, these are big numbers that we're seeing. This is not just a rare thing anymore. And this is increasing. And so just last year, the number that we're being given is over $5 million. And some of this is insurance. Some of it's tax dollars, reportedly, by these statistics that we're being given. So is this now a push? Is this, are doctors being pushed into this, do you feel, or pediatricians, that you start asking the question, leading the patient?
To me, it feels like a push. You know, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they are supposed to be in the midst of a review, a systemic review, just like the Cass report. That's mm-hmm. what the Cass report is. In England, Hilary Cass, who's, this is not a, she's a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. She was a former president of the Royal College of Pediatricians and Child Health from 2012 to 2015. So she's a person of consequence. She spent 4 years looking at a report, and you know, the summary of just such a report is that there was very poor evidence to show that that this type of care was helpful for children. So the evidence does not exist. I believe the report is something like 500 pages.
Yes.
And, you know,
and it's peer reviewed.
Very poor evidence for the safety and efficacy. So to question this, and then there's the American Academy of Pediatrics who, you know, I guess what they've announced is, okay, we're going to do a similar report. But in the meanwhile, we're going, I don't want to quote them because I'm not on their website. I'm not a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics and haven't been since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. But the general tendency seems to be let's affirm. I mean, they just had their national conference and exhibition. Dr. Levine from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. former head of health here in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Dr. Levine was born male, transitioned to female as an adult, actually quoted as saying, Dr. Levine has said that they're very happy that they mm-hmm. had their children before they transitioned.
Yeah, Dr. Richard Levine went to Harvard, had a lot of blessings in then Dr. Richard Levine's life, wife, children, and then much later in life transitioned and now identifies as Rachel Levine. But we've reported on, you know, really more talking about the nursing home issue during COVID. I won't get into that right now, but yeah, you're right. That's somebody who had said, hey, I'm glad I had kids when I identified as a man and a dad, you know, went to Harvard, went to law school, had a practice, right? And then transitioned much later in life.
So we have a scenario in which, like, you know, the whatever we would say, the respected organizations, the powers that be, a push. No one's pushing me and saying you must. And I will tell you, if I meet a child that wants to be called by a name or a pronoun, I comply to the best of my ability. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Someone says I want you to call me they or refer to me as they. It's very difficult for me to do because it defies like the laws of grammar as well.
The pronouns, right?
Right. But I try because yes. Like the person is in front of me and yeah. I'm trying to respect, you know, that person.
Yes.
But I do think just as I told my children very lovingly, I don't want you to have a phone until the end of eighth grade. And then it's not going to be an iPhone. Putting limits on my child was a very loving maneuver for me. You know, to put limits on a child to say, no, I don't think we need hormones injected. And then, you know, I don't think getting your breasts cut off is the right thing. I mean, also I'll add, you know, I've said several times, I'm married to a surgeon. When I think of a surgery being done, I think of the surgery from beginning to end. I think of the fact that you're going to have anesthesia. There's mm-hmm. risks to anesthesia. I've seen pictures of the scars after breast removal. Yeah. I've seen the staples. You know, you've just taken off two large chunks of fatty tissue. That's a huge risk for infection, mm-hmm. you know, let alone like, you know, the drainage and the infection afterwards, the pain, what have you done with nerves, the fact that it is irreversible. And then we haven't even talked about the bottom surgeries. I mean, you're dealing with tissue. You know, there's patients that discuss the fact that they end up with fistulas. So they end up urinating or stooling out of what vagina was built because of all the breakdown in the tissues. We're performing experiments. If we're doing these experiments on children, and albeit I will say the bottom surgeries, I think are less mm-hmm. frequently done, of course, than hormones and top surgeries, et cetera. But even the hormones, we are talking about blocking the normal round of puberty in a child that did not need puberty blocked. People who agree that this should be done and that there's no side effects will come along and say, well, what about the children with precocious puberty? Well, that exists, I believe, in about 1 in 10,000. So in the Philadelphia region, for females, we should be seeing maybe 10 a year, right? You know, mm-hmm. to give you a number, if you break down the number of people that we have here. And does that need to happen? Well, of course it does. But you're blocking the puberty until which time it begins. And, you know, we see puberty starting in some cases as young as age 6, 7, 8. You know, maybe you would want to block if you see it starting at 6. But if you see it starting at 8, maybe you'd say, well, like, we're not going to block this puberty. And so you're blocking it for a short period of time. Right. Whereas if you're taking a child that starts puberty as 9, that says that they're transgender, you might be blocking puberty until they're 18. There's no long-term study on that.
So let me just ask you something, Dr. Maz, because we're seeing this at our local hospitals, we're seeing it across the country nationwide, the numbers are staggering. This is it's not a rare thing anymore. And so what if a doctor at one of these hospitals says, let's slow this down. Is there a culture that's within hospitals and with medical offices where the pressure is on the physicians to say, oh, no, you've got to prescribe this, or you've got to really talk to them about their different options. And this is a kid who's, especially a kid under, let's say, 16. You know, some of these kids are young. Is that going on?
Well, all right. So,
like a peer pressure.
I'm trying to be very careful because I cannot speak for my employer, and I will not. I don't. There's, you know, I work in a big tent operation, right? And I guess what I would say is let's back up the conversation a little bit, and I'll give you another example of way back then and now. You know, I was a child. I remember taking St. Joseph's baby aspirin. I can still see the little bottle with a soldier on it. And then sometime in the 70s, we discovered that children are not little adults. And if you give children the aspirin when they have fevers and they happen to have flu, they might get something horrible called Reye syndrome. Mm-hmm. Their liver shuts down and they end up in intensive care units. So we stopped giving children aspirin. So we're talking about aspirin. Think about how often an adult uses an aspirin. Yeah. Well, it might not be so good for kids, but someone had to come along and discover this and point this out and say something. Should the person who came along and said, don't give aspirin, it's bad for child, for children, be questioned? And should they be considered hateful because, oh, wow, you must hate the physicians that have given aspirin? No, we find things out. We discover things. I'm not in a position where I would be asked to give hormones or even refer. That's not my role in the world of pediatrics. I have talked to pediatricians around the country. I published a piece in Fox News a year ago with another pediatrician from Ohio, a dear friend, Dr. Nikki Johnson. I think we reviewed what we knew, and we were writing about the American Academy of Pediatrics announcing that they were going to look at the evidence, and we had some opinions in there. I had a lot of pediatricians around the country across the aisle reach out to me and said, I read this. Thank you. Someone needs to say it. Mm-hmm. What I inferred from that, and I even had people saying to me, you're brave for saying this.
Yes.
I was brave for saying what? That we should consider that we might be causing harm by giving years and years followed by decades and decades of hormones, or by questioning whether or not surgery should be done. You're afraid to ask if that's the right thing to do. Yeah. I mean, you know, we, as women, you know, there's the question, Dr. Marty McCary,
yes.
I've met him several times. He's brilliant, from Johns Hopkins.
Yes.
His book, terrific
yes.
book, Blind Spots. You know, it's number one on the bestseller list. Go, Dr. McCary, go. But in his book, and I haven't gotten through all of it. My husband stole he stole my Kindle. He's like, he bought me the Kindle. I had to segue. He bought me the Kindle. And he's like, you know, it's my birthday present. And then he comes along and he's like, I think I'm going to download a book. I'd like to see what it's like to read on the Kindle. Dawn, he downloaded War and Peace.
Oh,
my
no.
Kindle has been appropriated.
Of all books.
But in any case, Dr. McCary talked about the fact that women, you know, we used to question whether or not they should do hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
And it was very poor evidence. Thank God people came along and questioned it. You know, have you been through menopause? I have. It's really ugly. I thought it was worse than puberty, but I mean, puberty was a long time ago. I thought menopause was terrible. I actually passed out during a hot flash, whacked my head, got four staples and stitches in my face. You know, they put me on HRT for a couple years, and it sort of, you know, so I was on a medication for a few years. And, you know, now I feel like, okay, well, I'm glad that I'm not passing out, or I wasn't passing out and having more stitches and staples. But, you know, for a long time, no to HRT. And now people are beginning to question the evidence. We should be questioning. We should have done this all through COVID.
Yes.
Why did everyone run to Remdesivir? Why are they running to Paxlovid? You know, instead of having an angry response, I mean, if you disagree with another physician, who cares? We do it all the time. We do it in my house. There's two of us here.
Yeah.
We disagree on things, and we have a discussion, and we don't call one another hateful. You know, it's, wow. Sorry, I think we got off topic with War and Peace and the Kindle.
No, I think it's important. You know, we've let this interview breathe a little bit, because the truth is, it's important that we're approaching this out of a place of love, care, compassion, but also looking at the facts and figuring out whether or not there is a push, or is it politics, or is there another agenda? I think that's a fair question, given, like you said, the CAST review, which I've talked about. I've interviewed Dr. Marty McCary about his book, Blind Spots, When Medicine Gets It Wrong. It's important, too, that, you know, that we have the conversation, because people listen to that and they say, okay, that gives me permission to ask the questions, too, or to say to my kid, you know what, let's go get a second opinion. And I think that's a piece of this. I want to keep the conversation going. But Dr. Mary Mass, we keep saying we're going to talk about empty nesters. I swear we will get to it. But we just love you and appreciate all your time. Thank you so much.
Oh, come on. Anytime, Dawn. I'm having a great empty nest time. So, yes, let's make that a date sometime. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's pleasure's all mine, Dr. Mary Mass. And by the way, there's Upper Bucks today. Reports. It's upperbuckstoday.com, and you can read, and it's really the headline is, I'm concerned about potential harm to children and the erosion of trust. So not a flashy headline, a concerned headline, but also obviously blind spots when medicine gets it wrong, like she mentioned with Dr. McCary, an incredible book and a must read, I think, for parents. So we have a lot more to talk about. Get your take. 855-839-1210 is the number to call. Some Trump audio you haven't heard yet from us this morning, so we'll get to that and more. I love Shania. Thank you for playing her. Do you know my
so does
youngest...
Maisie and I.
Maisie does too?
Oh, but if you get her on a Shania kick, man, it's, you're not getting it all. She has the CDs. In her... She still has a CD player in her car. It's like an older Pilot, Honda Pilot, and it's all just Shania Twain CDs.
So Larry got me tickets to a Shania concert, and when, I don't know when it was, but David was like 12. I said, who's going to go with me? Because my one girlfriend who was supposed to go, she
and everybody ran the opposite direction.
They did, but David went. He's such a sweetheart. He still regrets it.
I'm kind of learning a theme as I work with you, that it seems like David's your little buddy that kind of comes with you and does things with you.
They both do.
Do they?
They're both good.
I remember talking about going to Butler. It was going to be David as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. But he got the short stick on that. You know, because when you're a little boy, you don't want to go like, I went to a concert. Oh, really? Yeah, Shania.
Shania Twain.
But he loved it.
Jewel?
Yeah, Jewel would be nice.
I would love to see Jewel. She's great. Much more than Shania.
So we're talking about, you know, and you can look at also broadandliberty.com. Our friend Beth Ann Rossica, she does a deep dive locally looking at all of these numbers, talking about local hospitals, annual reports. And all of this came out from the national reports that we've been talking about. Do no harm. So what do you make of all of this? Do you feel that it's a push? Is it social media? What's happening here? Has it been politicized? There are a lot of theories here, but I think that, you know, Dr. Mary Mass, thank you so much for her coming on, because she brings up a great point that in Europe, after the CAST report, a broadly respected, widely respected doctor spent years studying this in a very clinical manner, and they decided, I mean, pretty much across Europe, they said, we're going to take this into consideration, and really changed how they look at this very issue. And so I think that's important as well. In America, not so much. So let's talk about it. 855-839-1210, the number to call. Joan, good morning.
Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good. How are you? What do you say it in such a perfunctory, how are you?
Well, it's Monday. It's been a big, you know, it's been a big morning already.
Yes.
First thing I want to say is that I love Marion Mass. I know her personally. And I know her, just as you said, that she's very compassionate. She always wants to see all perspectives and appreciate everyone's perspectives. So to say that I read what she had to say about the topic, and she's right on target, mm-hmm. as you said. The rest of the world is going in the opposite direction, and people in the United States seem to be wanting to run toward the cliff with these children and doing things to them that would be permanent and devastating to them. And there is a movement starting in the United States with Chloe Cole and other people who are detransitioning and sharing their stories now and about how they've been affected by it. So I just wanted to start with that to support Marion and appreciate that she's out there as a physician, someone who can speak with more authority than we regular people can speak.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad that she's out there saying it. And then as far as the push for where this is coming from, certainly social media plays a part. All the kids are on there, and, you know, they have these influencers on TikTok and whatever that are telling these kids to do these terrible things to themselves. But it's also in the schools. And I think I've shared before about the professional development training that was done definitely in Bucks County schools for sure, not Penridge, because it was going to be done in August of 2021. But fortunately, we were able to stop it. But this training, it's been done throughout the state of Pennsylvania, even as far as I believe State College had it scheduled. I don't know if they ever went through with it, but it was by Philadelphia's CHOP. And it trains our teachers to, as soon as a child declares that he or she feels like they are the opposite sex, that they begin them, you know, begin referring to them as that, and they basically put them on this gender-affirming path. So to me, that's like a one-way track. There's no room, if you watch the video of the training, there's no room to have those discussions like Dr. Mass is saying that you should have, to consider, is this really what is, you know, going on with this child? Is there some other kind of mental health issue? Should we be doing these permanent things to them at such a young age? None of that is taken into consideration. They just say, well, you know, this young man has said, this little boy has said that he thinks that he's a girl, and so that's how we're going to treat him from now on. And everything we do with him is going to affirm that decision. So I think it's reckless, and it's something that we, every parent and people like Moms for Liberty, thank God that they're out there questioning it and pushing back on it, because these are permanent decisions that little kids are making, and it just shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
There's no way that they have the capacity to make that decision at that age.
And so, I mean, Joan, that you're making the tie, in other words, from what's happened and the Bucks County School Board, and I've reported on that a lot. We've talked a lot about it as far as Bucks, and they just, I think it was October 8th, you know, it was reported that at that Tuesday night meeting just a week ago, the board voted to, quote unquote, retire or reverse a policy. And that policy means that if you are a biological boy and you identify as a girl, then you can participate in girls' sports, go in the locker room, the bathroom, etc. So you're thinking, you know, and I think a lot of us believe that it all goes together. It's a culture and creating a climate where everybody's talking about it, and whether people mean to or want to encourage it, I think that's how kids take it.
Yeah, it's definitely that way. And these groups that want to push this radical gender theory, they have a captive audience in the public schools. The kids are there. You're required to go there by law unless your parents can afford to send you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So they have this captive audience. Some school districts have been very accommodating in having certain organizations have access to their students, which is 100% inappropriate and shouldn't happen. So they're definitely working on them through the schools. That Central Bucks policy that they retired to allow males into the female sports, I mean, this isn't even something that the people, you know, people say, well, this is what Central Bucks voted for when they elected these people to the school board. And that's not true. When you look at this issue in Pennsylvania, in Bucks County, across the country, a supermajority of people do not want this. Common sense tells you that you shouldn't have males playing in the female sports. We've seen really devastating things happen. I think you spoke about the young woman who was injured in volleyball, and she's still struggling to this day, and that just breaks your heart. So it's a common sense thing that, you know, most of the world is on one page, and then these small numbers of people, and I think I did the math the other day, it's like 0.00007% of Central Bucks. It's these people with their agenda that they are pushing this onto the rest of the community.
We have a lot of calls,
people,
Joan.
Need to, okay.
Thank
so
you.
I will let you go, but okay. Take care.
No, I appreciate it. I just want to get to these other calls because we're just really up against it. Where do you want to go next, Dan?
We do got a break.
Oh, we do? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah,
thanks, Joan.
Because
no, I love Joan, and she just went to Italy, too, so I got to ask her about that. But
yeah, Joan, blame me. That was my fault. I'm pulling the plug over here.
He's cracking the whip on me. What am I going to do? So we'll take a quick break. But first, I do want to talk, speaking of Italy, because I know Joan just came back from there, so we have to have longer conversations. But we got to talk about Italy. I hope that you escape with me. And this is a true escape to paradise as we think about the next Italy trip. We're off to the Italian Riviera, gastronomical event that only Conservative Tours can deliver. I want you to join me for 11 luxurious days with the very professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in Italy, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I'm talking about Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $5,378, that includes your airfare. Yes, it does. $5,378, dining events at wineries, in Tuscany and visiting, yes, an authentic farm to see how Parmesan cheese is actually crafted by hand, can call toll-free 888-733-9494. Go to conservativetours.com. Hidden Italian villages you've never seen before, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, Michelangelo's Florence, and Milan, concluding on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tom Dawn sent you. You'll hear more from Trump, and I'll go through the media bias, in my opinion, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Guy Shiraki, and you'll hear all about the campaign. And one election here in Pennsylvania that's not getting as much attention that may impact the balance of Congress, not in the Senate. So I'll talk about all of that in the next hour. But want to just, you know, wrap this up with a bow, get your thoughts as far as what's happening in our local school, North Penn School District. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that and important meetings and votes upcoming. And will they choose to do things differently than, let's say, their neighbors in Bucks? So at CBSD. So we'll talk about all of that and look through it. But just want to continue to get some of your comments about the interview with Dr. Marion Mass and talking about the investigative work that's being done right now on the real explosion, if you will, of millions and millions of dollars being spent on these surgeries, transition type surgeries, and it's not rare anymore. So what's going on? 855-839-1210. Want to get your thoughts as we, Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that Dr. Mass is exactly the kind of pediatrician that our children and our families deserve. She is a very thoughtful, intelligent practitioner. Any families that are under her care can be confident that she is not just jumping on the bandwagon of the transgenderism and willing to literally ultimately castrate and mutilate and sterilize children or put them on lifelong hormones.
Yes.
When this has been proven in many areas, especially she mentioned Europe, where they are now stopping these kind of clinics and this kind of so-called care that permanently scars and damages children into their adulthood. So, you know, families should be rest assured, and hopefully we have more pediatricians that are willing to actually do no harm to the children and who families can confidently use for the care of their children.
Well said, Stephanie. Thank you so much. You succinctly said it, and it's perfectly stated. I agree 100%. And it's why Dan and I talked about, Dan Borowski, our great executive producer, we let that interview breathe with the conversation, because so many times we on the right, we are accused of being insensitive or not loving, not compassionate. And so that conversation with Dr. Mass was on purpose. Let that breathe so you can get to know her and you know where she is. Nobody could ever listen to that conversation in that interview and think that that was anything other than a purely compassionate professional interview, right? And that really was my goal, because that's the place that that's the place I come from, but as well, Dr. Mass is a doctor looking at this and saying, let's look at all the facts. Let's look at the studies. And so the question is, why aren't we? It's disturbing. It should be concerning. Andy in Philadelphia. Hey, Andy.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Listen, I got a quick commentary about the doctor's presentation. I thought she was excellent. And I would only ask you this. I had a couple questions that I wanted to ask her. I would hope you'll have her on again.
Yes.
And maybe have her hang around for 2 or 3 minutes to take questions.
That's a great idea.
The question that I had for her was, when you start to do this to a young man or a young woman, when do you reach the point of no return and you can't reverse it? You can't reverse the situation. And I think she could answer that question. I'll tell you from my own experience. I'm in my 70s. When I was 5 years old, I woke up in the morning. I didn't know whether I wanted to be Captain America, Superman, or Roy Rogers. I was very concerned about that. So she was great. Thank you for all your
thank you.
Great job you're doing. And I appreciate it. Have her on again and have her take some questions.
I love it. Great idea, Andy. Thank you. Richard gets the last word here. Hey, Richard.
Hello. Can you hear me, Don?
Yes.
Thank you for allowing me to come on. I'm a retired physician,
My name is Dr. Richard Burns. I practiced in Souderton, PA for 42-plus years. I'm vehemently opposed to transitional care or transgender care in minors. That's anyone under 18. I could talk about this for an hour, and I think Joan, if Joan is the person I think she is,
yes,
she's a wonderful person.
She
served on our school board at Penn Ridge.
That's the Joan.
But I would recommend to your listeners and to everyone, number one, go online and look for Dr. Stanley Goldfarb's testimony before Congress. It was within the past few months. Yeah. He's the head of Do No Harm. I'm a member of Do No Harm as well. And second thing is, please get Dr. Miriam Grossman's book called Lost in Transnation. This is a book that would be great, especially for these for parents to protect their children.
Yeah, thank
Final
you.
Word is any doctor, nurse, or other health practitioner that performs surgery or tries to transform these children again, those people should lose their license. They should be thrown in jail because this constitutes child abuse and malpractice.
Well, thank you, doctor. Appreciate you. Yeah, and right now this is all perfectly legal, and I'm not questioning the integrity of the actual doctors. We were talking about it earlier. I mean, CHOP doctors have saved my boys' lives, both of them, in different ways. But I was just at CHOP, I mean, last Friday and the week before at the King of Prussia CHOP. So I think that part of this is especially a pressure on young doctors and what they're being trained to do. And that's a problem, too. They need to know what we're saying. They need to hear this, I believe. But I'm not questioning their motivations. I'm really not. I just think it is a culture that's being created. And I think the doctors are being indoctrinated, if you will. And so I think that's part of the reason we need to talk about this, spread the word. And I thank you all so much. Great, intelligent comments. All right. Around the corner, we'll talk about the political season. We're winding down. I mean, less than 22 days and counting, TikTok, with all of the major players here in Pennsylvania this week. So we'll get Guy Shiraki's take. I'll give you some headlines off the top. You'll hear from Trump off the top. A little bit of a lot of bias by omission as they, I think, alter the meaning of his words just within the past 24 hours. What a shocker. All the breaking news. This is the Dawn Show.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.